been blessed by that. And I think Dan's going to take, whenever you're talking to people, maybe about the church or what we believe, he's going to put all those sermons, like I would want to listen to all those sermons again. I'm just kidding. But if they wanted to know what we believe as a church, he's going to put that all in one section on the website, and they can go through it and see that. I hope you've been blessed. We'll still keep picking away on Wednesday nights. We're not even at the end of that, but we really try to unpackage more what we believe and talk about it, because we need to understand what we believe. And so I hope you've been blessed by that. Today we're going to be talking, next 2 weeks, I'm kind of splitting this last one up. It's on family. We're going to talk about marriage today. We're going to talk about parenting next week. It's Father's Day. After that, I believe, is when we do the Lord's Supper. It's VBS and then the Lord's Supper or something in between there. Anyway, we're going to do some specialty things. And then I'm going to do a series called This is the Way for a little bit. And I think Gigi's making me a box. She's not here for me to pick on. They were here earlier, I think. But she's making a box that's going to go out in July in the lobby, and you're going to have these slips, and you can put your favorite verse. Yes, you need to put your name on it. You want to know the one Dan told me, you need to ask Dan, because I can't repeat that, and I can't preach on that in mixed company. But anyway, put your favorite verse down and why, and you put it in the slip. Am I going to do all of them at once? No, but in August through September, I'm going to do some of them. Then I'll save the other ones to do some other time, too. But your favorite verse and why, and I'll preach on those a little bit. But we'll have the box out there in July. Fill out a slip, put it in there, and that'll give us something to expound on. It'll be good. But today, so this week, Friday, Heather and I will celebrate 33 years of marriage. And Bass Chapel's really connected to that. We didn't get married here. We didn't know anything about Bass Chapel. But shortly after we got married, I had graduated, Heather and I both graduated from college, and I knew I wanted to go into ministry, and I began looking for positions in the area, we were attending Ridgecrest Baptist Church, and we went to camp, and that's where we met Mitch, the pastor of Bass Chapel, and from there we became youth ministers here. And we were newly married, really, probably camp was the next month, and after we got married. And so anyway, so sometimes at Baptist Hill, they have canoes and you can go floating. And so I went floating and with the youth and stuff like that. And then I realized I had lost my wedding ring. And some of you have been there, but losing your wedding ring within a month of being married may not go over that well with your loved one. But anyway, so my wife, because she's the brains of the operation, had the idea that if we went out at night with a flashlight and floated that creek, we could probably see my ring shining in the water. Well, other than the Bennett Springs float trip I'll never go on again, that's horrible, this is probably up there in the middle of the night. And Mitch, the pastor, thought we just wanted to be alone or whatever. But you talk about your first arguments and shining and worrying about snakes dropping into your boat, and no, we didn't find the ring. Yes, I have another one. But the thing about it is so many times, and kids today, I want you to draw a picture of a man and woman getting married. I have to specify that, okay? And put that on my desk, and you'll get a piece of gum. And we're talking about family, and we're talking about marriage. And, you know, sometimes we get people spend more time on a wedding than they do preparing for a marriage. They spend more time on preparing for a wedding ceremony. They spend more time preparing for their driver's license than preparing for a marriage. And you can't just totally prepare ahead of time, but so many times we get it down to the right ring or the right venue. And none of those things are bad in themselves, but they're very temporary. And so we need to ask the question today, how important is family in marriage? Family, a lot of people today would say, family is important, but again, we're talking about what we believe and what God's Word says about family and marriage. People are trying to define family and marriage. It's hard to understand. It's hard to live it out. It's hard to honor it. And you can choose to dishonor marriage and family, or you can choose to honor marriage and family. Your action step today is this: honor the family in marriage. Honor the family in marriage. And yes, your action steps are going to spell out the word family. And we're going to read this statement. I think I cut out the last part, and we'll read it next week. We'll see how that works. So let's start. God has ordained the family as the foundational institute of the human society. It is composed of persons related to one another by marriage, blood, or adoption. Marriage is the uniting of one man and one woman in covenant commitment for a lifetime. It is God's unique gift to reveal the union between Christ and his church and to provide for the man and the woman in marriage the framework for our intimate companionship. The channel of sexual expression according to biblical standards and the means of procreation of the human race. The husband and wife are of equal worth before God since both are created in God's image. The marriage relationship models the way God relates to his people. A husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. God has the God-given responsibility to provide for and to protect and to lead his family. A wife is to submit herself graciously to the servant leadership of her husband and as the church willingly submits to the headship of Christ. She, being the image of God, as is her husband and thus equal to him, has the God-given responsibility to respect her husband and to serve as her helper in managing the household and nurturing the next generation. All right, we'll pick up the last part of that article next week because we're talking about marriage and family. Now, a lot of you, if you read that and you don't read it closely, that's going to offend somebody somewhere somehow. We're going to unpackage this. What's happened is we've heard the word submit and head of household and all this kind of stuff, and we just haven't taken the time to think about it and define it. And family, the definition it used is family is related by marriage, blood, or adoption. And it's instituted by God. Genesis 2, verses 22 and 24, Genesis 2, verses 23 and 24 says this. And the man said, this one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she is taken from man. And this is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds to his wife, and they become one flesh. Family is a man, is a mom, a dad, and kids. Again, it's not always kids, and we'll talk about that next week. But the purpose of family is to reflect God's created order in civilization and society. God created the family to reflect his order to society. All people are part of a family. You may say, I'm not part of a family, but let's think about this. By blood, at least, some of your husbands, some of your wives, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, extended family, cousins, can't get away from that by blood. Sometimes you want to. We live in a society that has sin and a broken world, and families are not perfect. But we must strive for God's ideal and God's purpose of family. God's purpose is to build, nurture, and respect the family. And what I feel, Satan is doing a really good job at attacking the family. And he started with that first in the garden. And we'll continue to talk about that in a minute. Family is not a social experiment. Hey, let's try this out. Put people together. See what a family is. It's instituted by God. Its purpose is to reflect God's glory. Its purpose is to reflect God's ideal. Its purpose is to reflect God's order for human relationships. Family reflects God. And so your first fill-in, family is God's idea. He created it. It starts with three: God, the man, the woman, and that creates the family. United in a covenant relationship for life. I want to be clear, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but Satan works in counterfeits, and anything other than that order does not produce life.
Sure.
Doesn't produce it physically or spiritually. And so it's God, the man, the woman produce the family. A lot of times we try to leave one of those out. Especially if we leave God out, it's not going to work in a covenant relationship. Hebrews 13:4 says this, how important it is. Marriage is to be honored above all, and the marriage bed kept undefiled, because God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. Anything out of God's design can be considered sexually immoral. And it is created and honored by God as a metaphor to show God's relationship between Christ and the church. This is why the family was created, so people could physically have in their DNA and design see the relationship they can have with God. Revelation 19:7 says this, Let us be glad, rejoice, and give him glory, because the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has prepared himself. The believer is the bride. Christ is the bridegroom. That covenant relationship and a physical family helps put in our minds the relationship we can have with God. Christ redeemed people, the bride. Christ the bridegroom, to understand the intimacy, the purity, the order of marriage. It doesn't stop there, but it continues through the gift of sex. And yes, I won't get that detail, but it's not a bad thing. It's something God created, and in the purity of it, it works. And it strengthens a marriage, and it's made exclusively for marriage. And I've mentioned this before, but back in the 40s and around there were only 3 sexually transmitted diseases. Now they're 30 plus. God has physically designed us for only one other person. Now there's God's grace. I'm just saying God's ideal. And so even our physical bodies are only designed for really one other person. And so it's exclusiveness. It's meant to provide pleasure and in the confines of relationship, the marriage bed, and it's also for procreation, to pass the family on. And so also we see that God in marriage and in the family has given the gift of gender. The gift of gender reflects the goodness and diversity of God. We want to talk about diversity. God has made man and God has made woman, and he has both of those attributes. And I'm not saying he's both man and woman. He is God. But those attributes that we see in a godly man and a godly woman are different aspects of who God's character is. Both husband and wife complement each other in their God-given differences. We can say how much we want, we can paint over anything, but men and women are distinctly different. And we need to understand that. We need to celebrate the differences. One is not better than the other. And we need those differences to survive in life, because women see things men don't. And men see things that men don't. And it works together to help our society and each other. We're different. Your next fill-in. Both are different but equal before God. A godly marriage reflects God. A godly marriage reflects God. This is his order. I'm going to get in trouble for this, but if God's not in it, don't get married. Because it's God's design. And you're just playing house. And marriage is hard. I've had a wonderful 33 years, but Heather's had to put up with me. And we needed Jesus the whole way. And it gets better with age. But that's with God. Marriage is God, the man, and the woman. That's God's ideal. And marriage reflects God. Back to reflecting God's relationship with the believer and the husband. Ephesians 5:25 says this: husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. See, what happens, we hear this respect and submit, and we think, well, we're trying to make women into slaves. And men have used these scriptures in the wrong ways for years to subject women in wrong ways, and that is wrong. But what woman would not want to submit to a man that is trying to be like Christ and sacrifice his life for her and her family? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Husbands are to lead the family. They're to be the head of the family. We go into this when he talks about it in Ephesians. Again, we're different. Doesn't mean anyone's better. But when he uses the word head there in Ephesians, he's talking about the head of a fountain, that where the water comes out of. And we go back to creation in Genesis, where Eve was created out of Adam. And so that's what it's talking about there, that he is to be the head of the family. Again, it's servant leadership. The husband is to serve his family as Christ served us and gave his life. The husband is to devote himself to his wife and his family, to lead his family like Christ and be a servant, and to sacrificially provide for his family. The husband's duty is to serve and sacrifice for his family. Your next villain, men are to lead by example. And that's the example of Christ. A lot of us men, see, again, we're trying to, statistics, And are a good thing, they're a neutral thing, but statistics show that a man's influence in a child's life is even greater than a woman's. Now, I'm not saying that women have not influenced our lives in good mothers. I'm just saying, you go back to statistics, of the fact there's a 19% chance if a woman comes to the Lord that the rest of the family will come to the Lord. That if a child, a male child in the family comes to the Lord, I think there's a 39% chance that the rest of the family will come to the Lord. But if a husband, a father comes to the Lord, we're in the 80%+ chance that the rest of the family will come to the Lord. Why? Because God's design is that they spiritually lead their family as the example of Christ. Not better, it's what we're called to do. What wife wouldn't want to submit to a husband that's giving his life up for a family as Christ did for believers? And if you want to look at this more this week, go to Ephesians 5 and look at verses 22 through 33. I encourage you to look at that this week, but that expands on that. The wife is to subject graciously to the servant leadership of her husband. The wife's responsibility is to respect and serve and help and submit. Now, again, if I didn't explain that, I'm the worst person in the world, and we're just trying to put women down. Neither Jew nor Greek, nor man nor woman. We complement each other. We need to unpackage this. Biblical submission doesn't mean she has no influence and direction in her family. It's just like that movie, Big Fat Greek Wedding, when dad's trying to be big. He's saying, I'm the head of the family. I make decisions. And mom said, well, I'm the neck. And the neck turns the head. You know? And I'm going to tell you right now, if you've lived long enough and been married long enough, any decision you've made without consulting your spouse, you know that probably was not that good of a decision. We need each other. We see things differently. And so, in biblical submission doesn't mean she has no influence in the direction and the desires of the family. The biblical idea of submission means that the wife reflects God's ideal of honoring the role he has created for her husband. That word means to respect, to serve, to manage the home, to nurture, to help. Honoring the family in marriage means this, your next fill-in. In God's design, women are a help. Not less. How many of us need help? A lot of men won't ask for help. And it says help mate. So it doesn't mean less. It means that by ourselves, we're incomplete. Adam is sitting there naming all the animals, and this song, one of these things is not like the other, and he's like, what's there for me? And so God puts him in a nap, and he creates woman, not less than, but to help, to complete the oneness physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Not less, but you're a helper. Not less, but different. We need to celebrate the difference. We complement each other. It's harmony and reflects God's relationship. When you see two people that are dramatically different physically and in gender, that God has designed differently, and yet they work together, that's harmony. And that reflects God's church. There's so many different people here that we would never have anything to do with each other, that our likes and dislikes are different, that we're just going down different paths, but yet we're here together because of Christ. And the giant question mark is this, how and why? It's God. And here God makes men and women different, nonetheless, to complement each other. They see in the harmony of marriage. Marriage and family are easy, right? No, they're not. The original problem that we see is God created family first, and Satan attacked family first, and sin itself. God designed equal yet different, that they complement each other, and sin separates that focus. In the garden, in chapter 3, they chose to go their own way, and then there's empty. Now we're having to deal with weeds physically. We're having to deal with the brokenness of the world, and that relationship that God created for harmony between man and woman to celebrate their differences, now we've got to find the sin of self. And that without God, we can't do that. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't do that. Sin separates the focus on self instead of sacrificing and helping one another to reflect Christ. We have to beware of sin. Sin makes honoring a godly marriage and family hard. Honoring the family and marriage means recognizing your next one, the longing of the sin of self. It's not about me, it's about he. I want you to think about that for a minute. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, you see the results of sin. And one is the fact that man will now rule over woman. Now, again, man has taken that wrong. His desire will be to, they were equal and they complemented each other, but his desire is now to subjugate and to rule over women. And if you look at history, it's played itself out really badly. And so we need to understand that. And then we see also see the woman's desire will be to usurp the man's authority. And that's going really great in society. We see that a father is a doofus or not present. And again, physically, they're not present in a lot. Satan's doing a good job of dismantling the family. But we see in movies and cartoons that the father doesn't know anything. He's barely, very rarely represented. And if he's represented, it's not that well. And that's a way to usurp a man's authority. Again, I'm going to be very careful. Compliment each other. Differences. Equal. We are not over women. Women are not over us. We are called to celebrate our differences. And a man needs to be respected. A man needs to be honored. It doesn't mean more than. And if you go to Ephesians, a woman needs to be loved. Both of those are love. But how many times do we see dad's the brunt of the joke? Doesn't matter what he does. How does that make a man feel? It's not about making us feel better than we are. It's the fact of both of those are just as important. Or the fact a woman is not important. They're less than. They're just an item or something to own or to subjugate over. Both of those are because of sin. And we need to realize that in our marriages and how we treat each other, that we're going to have to fight against not honoring and not loving those of different genders. Longing for the sin of self. It's not about me, it's about he. We need to focus on God. Is honoring God's design for marriage and family really that important? Yes, it is very important. Again, look this week at Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 33, and it reflects the relationship that we can have with God. God is awesome, and God is intelligent. And so God said, I want you to understand what kind of relationship you can have with me. That is intimate, that's the closest relationship you can ever have. And so I want the family, the physical family, to continually to remind you of the relationship you can have with me. You'll see that in Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 33, if you look at it this week. What is that? A covenant commitment. In other words, it's not just I promise you or I'm writing something on a dotted line. It's the fact that it's entering a covenant. A commitment that is intimate, that is sacrificial, that serves one another, that has grace, and that has love. Does that sound like God? Does that sound like things you have to have in a marriage? If you have been married long enough, you have to continue to work on intimacy. You have to continue to work on sacrificing what you want. You have to continue to work on serving one another. And you have to continue to give grace and love to each other. And the only way I can do that is through my relationship with Jesus Christ, and that he gives it to me so I can give it to my spouse and I can give it to others. A healthy marriage relationship is a powerful illustration of the gospel. This is why family and marriage is important. If the bride is the church is the people of God, the believers that have had faith in Christ, and Christ is the bridegroom, and the family is a physical picture of how to understand your relationship with God, Satan attacked it first in the garden. Satan wants to dismantle it. Why? Because marriage is reflective of the gospel. It takes a covenant relationship. It takes a closeness. It takes sacrifice. It takes serving one another. Christ did all these. It takes God giving us grace and his love. Honoring your next villain, honoring the family and marriage means understand your marriage is designed to reflect the gospel. Oh boy, how well does your marriage reflect the gospel? What is that? You know, how well are you showing grace? How well are you sacrificing? See, the sin of self says it's all about me. If they do this for me, I'll do this for me. I'll give 50%, they'll give 50%. If they honor me, I'll honor them. How, for you guys that have been married long enough, how's that work for you? I think we need to all give 100%. Let God sort it out. Because it reflects the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't give part of him. He didn't give half of him. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, if you think today I'm calling you to have a perfect marriage, good luck with that. But I want you to understand the first foundation of the family is God, a man, and a woman in a covenant relationship for a lifetime. For some of you, this is God's ideal. For some of you, that hasn't happened and you've had God's grace. This is where the grace comes in. And what you've done forward has reflected that. And Satan wouldn't want you to live in the past. Don't go forward. But we need to understand the foundation. And again, Satan attacked it in the garden. The foundation of family is God, one man, one woman for a lifetime. We're going to get to the second part of it next week on the fact of parenting. And the fact that sometimes, spoiler alert, we try to make the child the center of the family. And the child is not the center of the family. And this is why we're dealing with adults that we're dealing with now is child-centered parenting. And what I want you to understand is this. You need I'm thinking maybe the circle being broken, but we talked about the family of God. We need to understand the family is this. God is the center of the family. Let's imagine the man and the woman grasping hands and then grasping hands with God. That forms the circle. But the mistake we make in parenting is we put the kid in the middle of the circle. Mm-hmm. And there is a point of parenting what we need to be about. We'll talk about that a little bit next week. But your marriage is designed to reflect the gospel. And so, 33 years, some of you, I think the Kogels, Bob's doing better. He had a bad accident with a mean cow. They took care of the cow, okay, but be in prayer for him. But he had surgery on his birthday, and I think he had the accident on their 67th anniversary. So I told him, wow, what a way to celebrate your 67th anniversary and your 85th birthday, you know, being in an accident and having surgery. I wouldn't want that. Okay, the 67 years, I know if you were to ask Bob, he would say it's God. Because I feel that the older I get, the more I just want to do my own thing, and the more I've got to lean into God that I want to do his thing. I need to abide in that. How is marriage formed? It's all God. So I got some questions for you today, as we have a time of invitation here in a moment. Who do you believe created the family? You may not have thought about that, but there's a lot of people right now that are thinking about that. There's a lot of people right now that saying family is just Fast and Furious, okay? Not that I watch Fast and Furious 20 or how many there are now, but the one thing about Fast and Furious, the one line is it's all about family, okay? Everybody's about family, and family looks different. Family is not a social experiment. Family is God's design, and maybe for some of you, you need to realize you're not going to beat somebody up. You need to decide, what is the definition of family? Mm-hmm. If you're following Jesus and you believe in the word, family is God, the man, and the woman for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so what is the next question is, what is your marriage reflecting? A what not to do situation? Or I think one of the most beneficial things I experienced in the church we were in is we got all the people together that have been married 60 plus years, and we did a newlywed game, and it was to ask them questions, and all of us younger ones were taking notes viciously on the potholes that they had fallen in so we could avoid them, okay? But because 60 some years of marriage, you've learned some things. And the question I have, what's your marriage reflecting? The more I lean into Ephesians 5, the more times I realize, am I washing my wife with the word? Am I making her better or worse? Am I adding a brick to our marriage or taking, and am I doing that well with it? I don't feel I'm doing that well with it, but I'm trying to be more conscious of it. Some of us at some place, as the longer we get married, we're just roommates. That's not where we're at. Or we just put up with each other and we do our own thing because it's cheaper or whatever. But don't you think God wants a marriage to look more and more like him the longer you go? Amen. And don't you think it's harder that you need the Holy Spirit to not be of self? And so I got a question for you. What is your marriage reflecting? Men, what kind of example are you setting? I know I'm not Christ, that I need to be sacrificing for my family. I need to be taking care of my family. And when I'm tired or this or that, I need to just forget about that and serve my family. What kind of example are you setting? And women, are you hung up on the words respect and submit? We're talking about what woman would not want to submit to a man that is submitting to Christ. And I know some women are not in that kind of relationship. And some women, through the grace of God, have stayed with the relationship and won that man to God and set an example in that reflection. I admire you in that, but don't get hung up on the words submit and honor, because you're not less than. You're a helper that we need. Let's stop focusing men and women on what we're not getting and focusing on serving each other. Lastly, are you continuing to be aware of the sin of self? Because when I get tired and when it's, you know, my wife has to remind me, would you say that to a church person? You know, would you treat them like this? You know, and I don't try to be any different, but that hits to the core of, like, she's the first person I need to take care of. Huh. And so I need to ask you the question, are you fighting self? Or are you just giving, I'm going to do whatever I want, they do whatever they want, and you wonder why people get divorces and marriage falls apart? And lastly, is the purpose of marriage and family your priority? Your marriage for the gospel? You might say, well, Pastor, I don't get that. But you need to show grace. You need to show sacrifice. You need to, you know, you may need to hit this altar. You may need to talk to your spouse and ask their forgiveness. And nobody may ever know that, but marriages need to reflect the relationship we can have with God. Sacrifice for each other. We're committed to each other. We give grace to each other, and we point to God. Marriage is one man, one woman, God for a lifetime. As we raise and stand to our feet,